Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Father, we ask that there will be revelation of your word tonight in the name of Jesus. That you will indeed open our eyes to see all that you want us to see. In the name of Jesus. It is done. Amen. All right, I'd like us to please turn our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. Okay, before we read that Luke 2, let's turn to Malachi 3:6. Malachi chapter number 3 and 2, verse 6. And that's my anchor. If you're there, say amen. Malachi 3:6. All right. Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. Okay. You know, so he said, I am the Lord. I do what? I change not. So, if you are not the Lord, you will change. That's the idea. And that's where I'm starting from. Anywhere there's growth, there's change. Because growth is about moving from one form to another. And the topic, enlarge your capacity, is a very, very strong topic. Such that I'm very, very burdened about for the body of Christ. So I'm going to be speaking from the place of serious burden tonight, and very, very serious burden in my heart as touching this conversation. So God doesn't change because he's the perfection and the height of growth. God doesn't grow. He doesn't have any need to grow. He's God. It's the same yesterday, it's the same today, it's the same forever. There's been theological argument about the variance between the God in the Old Testament and the God in the New Testament. It's the same God. But you see, as we mature, the side of him we see seems to shift as we mature. But it's still the same God. Amen. But when God became flesh, Luke chapter number 2 now, we can now go back to that Luke chapter number 2. The moment we saw that God became flesh and dwelt among us, we started seeing some very, very serious statements said about the person of God. Luke chapter number 2 from verse 52. Luke 2 verse 52. The Bible said, and Jesus increased in what? In wisdom. And in what? Stature. And in what? In favor with God and man. God in heaven doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today and forever. But the moment he became man, he changed. He grew. You see, growth will always be needed as long as we're in this human frame. Anywhere there's no growth, there's pride. Anyone you see that is not becoming better, or anyone you see that is not increasing in knowledge base and approach to things, will be that the fellow has come to a conclusion that the method you have is the perfect method. But one of the things growth does is that growth humbles your yesterday revelation. I love something that one of our pastors said, that yesterday's excellence is today's mediocrity. Yesterday's excellence is today's mediocrity. Please follow me. We're going somewhere. So anywhere there's growth, or anywhere there's a need for more capacity, the pipeline through which capacities are increased is growth. You will never increase capacity unless you grow. So the subject, enlarge your capacity, already suggests that we are invited to the place of growth. Amen? You know, Just like we have our children, you give birth to a child, and they move to, from that baby stage, they are toddlers, and then they start growing into adulthood. Growth is characterized with changes. Please, I'd like us to know these words. Growth is always characterized with change. It is characterized not just in change of form, but also change of approach. Such that, I'm going to be speaking from personal experience. At a level, you can say this is the height of the way these things are to be done. But you see, the moment you are exposed to a higher level of knowledge, your approach to things changes. One of the mark that a believer is really experiencing growth is that there's going to be a revisitation of your ideals. Ideals in the sense that the things you consider as most important will be visited again. So year in, year out, the way we measure growth, not just as ministers, but also as ministries, is that the things we used to think are the height of importance will be checked. You see, it's just like standing under a light. If you stand under lesser light, you may feel you are perfect, your clothes, everything is perfect. But when you stand under greater light, what it does is that it reveals what lesser light cannot reveal. So the conclusion of perfection, or the conclusion of no need for growth, is depending on the level of light that is at your disposal. The moment you have higher light in any level, there is always going to be invitation for growth. And we can never route capacity enlargement through anything else but growth. Meaning that the moment that you are enlarging capacity suggests the fact that you are growing. It suggests the fact that you are changing from one form to another. But please, follow me, please. So I wrote here that capacity building is routed through growth mainly. To build capacity is to grow into what is required to get maximum result in a given task. So you are not building capacity if you do things at your own level. No. See, listen. It is one thing to do things well. It is another thing to do things at the level required. Sometimes we do things well, but that is not the required level. And sometimes it is the required level, but it is not the universally required level. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Is this simple enough? Sometimes we have done things at a level, yes, but the question is, what is the universally required measure for the things that we are doing? Let me give you an instance. You can never truly see the purpose of God for your life and not grow. The fact that you are not the hunger, because growth is not possible except there is hunger. Growth is not what happens to you just by itself. See, a child by the child cannot grow unless there are natural process of feeding that takes place. And feeding is not possible if there is no hunger. So first, apart from the fact that we have to grow and enlarge our capacity, is also suggesting that there is a need for continuous level of growth. That is what shows that we are healthy spiritually. There is no health if there is no hunger. Now, I'm going somewhere. Capacity is needed to handle many things in ministry. And let me quickly say this so I don't rush ahead of myself. Ministry is not a simple work. Ministry is not a simple work. And I'm saying this, please, I want you to pick my heart from the things I'm saying tonight. Ministry is not a simple work. Ministry is a very, very serious work that requires the highest level of capacity. Particularly now that we are doing ministry in the end time. It means that we need capacity to get done things in no time. That is, end time suggests the fact that we don't have time. So it means some things that could have taken 10, 20 years. There is a need for more men that will now emerge, that will be able to get those things done because the gate of hell is racing fast. So we need ministers, not, see, we can, through our growth, delay the agenda of God. And when that happens, what God does is that He will not have to wait for you forever. Yet while you are delaying the agenda, God will have to find people who are going to meet up with the task. Prophecies can be frustrated where there is no growth. Prophecies looks like lies where there's no growth. I remember sharing something on Twitter recently and people were raging. And I want to say it again. There is no prophecy that is self-fulfilling. Men rise to fulfill prophecies. And one of the ways we fulfill prophecy is that we mature to the level of the prophecy. Listen, the version of the man that received the prophecy is not the same version that will fulfill it. Between the man that received the prophecy and the man that will fulfill the prophecy is many layers of growth. Sometimes to fulfill the prophecy you have received will mean that you will swallow some of the words you have said in the past. I don't know if I'm speaking to the right people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, listen, God taught me this recently. He said, my duty in your life is not to raise you to become a man of your words, but to become a man of my word. Meaning that you can say certain things in the days that the knowledge base is little. But as you mature, sometimes to enter into your next level, the next word you have to swallow is your word. Because you said it when you were not having sufficient light. And that's why I said, it is only God who doesn't change. So that you say, I can't move from this. Listen, let me also put the balance. There are very firm reality of scriptures that we don't change from. Let that be clear. But when it comes to approach, when it comes to method, when it comes to ourselves, there are areas that are given to us within that jurisdiction we ought to grow. For instance, somebody received on campus that God is going to use me to bless nations of the world, to do all those things and to do all that. You can be sure that the version of the student receiving it cannot be the version that will do it. If he will do it like that, he will die. So this thing we call capacity enlargement, it is actually against many obstacles. That there are forces that if a child is manifested, they will cut down the child. The heir of the house as long as the child. Differentiate him nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is made subject to what? Teachers and tutors, till he comes of age. Unto us a child is born, but who is given? A son. Growth is required. Now listen, in ministry you need capacity to handle many things. And I want to list a few things. Number one, you need capacity to handle spiritual matters. Ministry is a spiritual adventure. You need capacity to handle spiritual matters. Let me quickly show us a few scriptures. I'm trying to just read out these scriptures for the sake of my time. Amen. Please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Galatians 5. If you are there, please say amen. Galatians chapter number 5, I'm going to read from. Let's start the reading from verse 24. Galatians 5, verse 24. Alright, now look at this. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Yes? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Yes. Verse 26 now. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit. Now, please listen. Let me give you this illustration. You see, ministry is not done with common sense. Ministry is also not done with human calculation. Let me give you this instance. I remember a situation where a sister came to church. I remember that day I was teaching on a series, and for some reasons, while preparing to go for that service, the Lord said to speak on the subject of hope. So I started speaking on that subject, prayed, trusted God for his word on the people. After the service, a sister came to meet me in the office that was crying. Her father just died and she was at the verge of committing suicide. We will never truly eat the marks we should eat in the Spirit unless we are in the Spirit. Meaning that people, please, I want us to listen. It is one thing to hear me, it's another thing to hear and be clear. See, there will be rigidity where there's no spirituality. Spirituality suggests that we can be flexible. Look at what the Bible said in John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3 verse 8. John 3:8. Can we please turn our Bibles there? John chapter number 3, please. Verse 8. If you are there, please say amen. Now look at it. It said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, we hear it, the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it what goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So it means that if our life is ruled by the activity of the Spirit, there are times that there will be sudden turn, because the Spirit of God is now seeing something that must be done. One of the characteristics of the end time harvest described in the book of Joel chapter number 2 is that give these individuals. And many things will escape us if we are not in the Spirit. Many things. See, it is one thing to calculate and permutate and think if we do this way and all that. We will always miss the blessings of the Lord if we are not in the Spirit. I can tell you a lot of stories, you know, as touching this regard, and sometimes it can be that just by the leading of the Spirit, God just says, touch this area. Meanwhile, there are blessings attached to that simple statement. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it is a very long rope. Sometimes the manifestations of God does not come through anything dramatic, but through simple leadings. I remember hearing the testimony of a minister that organized a meeting that God did not ask him to organize. And at some point, some people came to the ministry that were disturbing the ministry, came with strange spirits, came with very, very bad. Are you aware there are people that can frustrate you? Came with very, very bad spirit and were polluting the house. And while he was praying, God said, go back and check your register. When did they enter? They entered when he called for a meeting by human calculation. When you throw the net out in the energy of the flesh, you will catch nothing. But you see, we always have to be positioned to hear that voice to say, launch to the right. The idea is not that fishes have been waiting in the right. The idea is that anywhere is what goes, result will follow. And it takes a high level of spiritual activity for us to hear. You see, one of the things the devil likes to do is to position minister of God in situations where cares of this life will not allow us to hear the word of God. And it takes very, very serious spiritual drillings to hear. Number two, you need capacity to handle adversity. Can I quickly read the scripture? You need capacity to handle adversity. Then you also need a capacity to handle blessings. You need capacity to handle abundance. Look at the book of Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, please, if you can turn the book of verse 27. Matthew 7 verse 27. No, let's start from verse 26, please. Matthew 7, 26. Please look at this quickly. And let me read from here. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now look at verse 27. There are very clear quotes here. The rain descended. Three dimensions of things that will impact us, that will check how we are building. The first is the rain. The second is the flood. Say the flood came and the wind blew and beat against the house and it fell. And grace was the fall. But you see, these are three dimensions of things that will check our structures. The first is the rain. Please note this. These three things will check the structure of what we are building. The first is the rain, and the rain is a good thing. Isaiah 55 verse 10. Isaiah 55:10 says, "The rain as the rain cometh down from heaven and the snow, and returneth not what thither, but watereth the earth and bring it forth what bud and what flourish, that may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So rain is that which comes and bring both seed and bread. Please listen. Amen, ministers. Amen. Please look up. There is a need of capacity to handle rain. Rain is a very, very fantastic thing. But if it is not prepared for, it becomes floods. You see, this thing we call abundance. Oh Lord, I'm praying that you will give our ministry this. We are asking that you will increase our attendance. The question is, will God still have the man he used to have when the result comes? There are people that the last time God had them intact was before the result. You see? And I ask people that when you have everything you are praying for, what will be your prayer point? Or will there still be a need for prayer? And that will check our structures. If the prayer life we have is based on needs or based on fellowship. Nothing truly check the hearts of people like abundance. Abundance reveals pride. It reveals laziness. It reveals foolishness lurking in the heart of people, but there is nothing to sponsor it. There are sins that some people are not committing. Please pardon me. Because they don't just have the resources to sponsor it. Not because they are not interested, but if the resources come, they will really do it. You know, one time I sat down, and I'm saying this with all honor for the body of Christ and respect. And I found out that we do not really have large-scale scandal until ministers are exposed to international ministries. And this I'm saying from very, very careful research, and you can quote me anywhere. You see, it is one thing to do ministry in Nigeria and say this. But the moment you begin to step into zones where nobody knows you and your concentration is still intact, then you are a minister. You see, I understand that where people are watching online and amen. Let me quote this. I was hearing the minister of God talk about being in, was it Ethiopia or somewhere? And while he was at the airport, he saw another minister at the VIP lounge who he knew to be married in Nigeria, grabbing and holding a damsel. That's the word he used. You see, amen. Sincerely, everything we're asking God for, God is interested in giving us. But the question is, will I still have the man? And that's why sometimes God will have to decide that a man will remain small, for his mercies endures forever. Because God is not interested in giving anyone what will kill him. Blessing becomes curse when it comes to the hands of fools. And a fool is a man who sees something coming but fails to prepare for it. Sincerely, I'm saying this again. We need to prepare for abundance. We need to intentionally pray. And not just pray now. Intentionally prove it, both to God and to men. And to men, that you can put that in a faded language. But we need to intentionally prove it to God that we are still the same person he found. Look at what God said to Saul through Samuel. He said, when you were small in your own eyes, did I not make you a captain over my people? Meaning that, you see, increase can come and the man can grow in his own eyes. Pride is when you grow in estimation of yourself beyond measure. We should prepare for rain. Even rain too can be destructive when there's no preparation. You see, in Nigeria, every year we have floods. Every year we have floods. That's not natural disaster. That's human disaster. Because we can simply foresee. There are seasons that we expect rain in large quantity. And we can prepare for what is coming. But you see, if rain comes and we are not creating channels, it becomes destructive. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Let me leave it there. The second thing that checks the quality of what we are building is flood. Let me show you an example of what flood is. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms 110. Psalms 110. Let's start reading from verse 1 for the sake of contextual understanding. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Yes, verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, and rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Yes. Let's read this together. Now, listen. Imagine a situation where God did something through you now. And from the moment God did that, you became the man that 50% of Nigerians want to hear. That's not rain, that's flood. You see, what happens after that will be a function of the man God has made before that. Revival is a bad news if men are not built. Let me show you a scripture. Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Please, if you're there, let's go to verse 5 now. Look at it. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Meaning that everyone have no business with abundance until the men are really made. It is a bad news. See, if we study church history, one of the things we'll discover is that there are people who would have lived longer, if not that they cried for revival, they didn't have capacity to handle. Do you understand what I'm saying at all? There are people that will live longer, much longer, unless that they desire certain thing and not understand the works behind it. And the flood came and swept the entire building away. Flood suggests the fact that you need more than preparation for rain. You need structures. Part of capacity development is the ability to put structures on ground to manage excess. Now, floods can be as a result of the accumulation of waters of rain that unleash in great speed. But also, flood can be disastrous. Because the Bible says, even if the enemy comes like flood of water, God will raise standard. Let me give you another example of flood. Imagine a situation of general criticism or general accusation. That something happens now suddenly, and everybody starts saying this fellow. It once happened. Maybe I should share this story. Let me share this story. I remember a situation that happened on campus. We had a meeting, and a very powerful figure in the society came. And when he came for that meeting, all these politicians, he promised heaven and earth, well, I'm going to release so and so millions, we'll buy sound, we'll buy you guys. And after I released that, I went to his office more than 10 times. Enough of the embarrassment. If you won't give us, don't promise us. And many people were there that time who heard that the man had promised that, and people began to, in fact, the man began to give the impression that he had done it. You said you have given this money with 1 naira we've not seen. And everybody somewhere began to spread speculations that don't mind these fellowship people, they are liars, they are thieves, they collected money and they said they've not collected. And the whole insult, it was like the gate of hell was unleashed. In the midst of such, listen, ministry will not just bring you good people, it brings bad people that will misunderstand and judge you unnecessarily. And it takes capacity to forge ahead. Sometimes you must understand that the larger the head, the larger the headache. And I look at fathers in the body of Christ, and if you truly study these men and look at the accumulation of criticism and insult that comes year in, year out, election is coming again, fathers will become the subject of insult. In fact, it is almost becoming a thing that you dare not say, thus says the Lord, about the election matter. They will finish you. But you see, is it that God will speak and we will not say it? Are you seeing that it requires a greater level of, if you do not understand what it takes, management protocol of fame, or let me use the word influence, a man can die of hypertension because of that which flood brought. Flood checks the structure of what you are building. Also, adversity in itself now, and by adversity I mean adversity, I mean contrary situations. You know, what people believe is that the moment you are a pastor, you must be working in billions. I mean, pastors are, all these pastors, they are stealing money. And they will never start the ministry, you see. In fact, tell them that, okay, your children will marry pastors. They will say, God forbid. You see, on one hand, we say pastors are this. On another hand, we don't want to become that. But listen. It is true that it is only less than 10% of ministers, and I say this globally, and I'm saying this, my part is not here. I would have given you some of this data, statistics. It is less than 10% of pastors globally that have no financial situation. It is said that more than 40% of pastors in America quit ministry yearly. That's America. Now imagine Nigeria. Sometimes you just discover that this fellow is pastor. I mean, you hear Jesus, this program is over time, just start seeing solar panel, by solar panel. What's happening? The fellow has spotted, shifted levels. Why? The assignment really requires capacity. There are times that ministers of God will have to stand to minister to people and encourage them about the things they are suffering. As poor, yet making many rich. And that example, I have many examples for what I do. That's why I said solar. I have many examples for. So it's not coming from. Are you following? Listen, there's a way this thing will eat you. You just say, but I left that to repair AC at some point, you see. Amen. Listen. I want to give this example. I remember there was a time, thank you, sir, that I was ministering, and somebody just brought a note to me. And what was in the note? So and so fellow is dead. I looked at the note, I looked at the fellow ministering, and the question on my mind is, even if this had happened, why? Why now? But you see, that's the idea of ministry. Everybody believes that for you to be called a pastor, it must be it that you have really built capacity to handle all these things. So nobody believes that pastor is even going through anything. Are you seeing that now? And you cannot go and say, as your pastor, I'm broke. Pastor can't be broke, no. So it means that God must have built strength, both spiritually and emotionally, to handle adversity and yet progress. Listen, one of the leading causes of burnout is offense. Offense. That you can be offended that I'm going through this and these people don't care, and before you know it, one of the signs that you are burning out is that you begin to recover slowly from pain. Everything targets at the heart of the... Look at it now, Psalms 11 verse 2. Psalms 11 verse 2 says, for Lord, the wicked bend their bows from the shadows, open privily to shoot at the upright in heart. So the number one place the devil target is the heart of the one who tries to represent God. So that heart must be heavily defended. I watch Bishop Dagwood Mills. The day I saw the news that he lost his son, he ministered that day. I'm not talking about a program. I watched the program live. And I was wondering, how could he steal the cracking joke hearing the death of your son, a medical doctor in the United States? So there is a need for strength. Listen, not because we are praying that problems will come, but Jesus already said, in this world, you will have tribulation. So it is not you may have tribulation. Some things will eventually happen someday. And there is a need. See, you don't prepare when you're already in the middle of a battle. You prepare ahead of it. You build strength. And one of the questions I would like to ask is, what is the strength of the things that can happen and prayer is no longer the solution? It takes experience to answer this carefully. Are you following what I'm saying? That some things may happen and they say, according to scripture, I say, let's leave scripture and face reality. Because capacity has not been built to make scriptures your reality. And when you begin to face that reality, that is already the reality of the devil. And it will beat you with experience. You don't fight him in his zone, he will beat you with experience. He's good there. He seeks to lure you into dark corners. Let me share this story. Years back, I used to have this mentee that the one used to already suggest that there's a problem. Who used to be epileptic. And when they brought him and then said, this guy is epileptic, I prayed and God said I should just clean the left side of his head. I cleaned the left side of his head in the place of, we stood together, he fell, foamed, the spirit left him. And so he was following me and all that. One day I came to church, you see, and I saw this guy. He told the choir members to kneel down and was flogging them. So, amen. I said, man of God, what's happening? He said, they are not hearing what. Listen. So, they are not hearing what, and the solution to that is that you flog all these people. He said, they are not hearing what, and they need to be taught. So, I called him aside, and I corrected him. And from that moment, he became offended. So when our ministry started, the devil raised some men. And I want to say this to you, that adversity is not a sign that God is not behind you. It can also be a sign that the devil is trying to insist you don't go where you are going. You must develop thick skin. Some people rose up and began to say statements like, don't mind him, he's trying to start ministry because of offering. You see, he wants to start collecting offering, that's why they are starting ministry. And meanwhile, this young man that was my mentee, he used to go for market evangelism. And when he goes for that market evangelism, every time he goes there, he comes back with fish, with pepper, with tomatoes, with oil. So I called him. Unfortunately, I had eaten from it like twice. Before I asked, I lost my peace, so I asked him, where do you get? He said, the market women, after he has won their soul, then they give him fish. Jesus did not do ministry like this. He fed them instead. You see? So I said, you don't do that. I said to him, I said, see, I understand that the faith that we have. I said, I'm not doing ministry on empty stomach. And that's why, you see, I have this job and have that job and have that job and I'm combining everything together, even with a busy schedule. So when those guys rose up and were saying, don't mind him, he's trying to do ministry for offering. One of them now said, we even heard that he said he can't do ministry on empty stomach. When I heard that statement, my heart failed. That I said this statement only to one person out of trust. See, in ministry, you will deliver things from depth of love and trust. But it matters the heart that is receiving it. Because the very same thing can be used against you. And yes, you must love. Are you seeing that? It's not just that you must not be offended. You must still extend love. So it takes capacity. After that, this guy, see, the unfortunate thing was that the epilepsy came back. And in fact, let me share this with you. Before that issue came up, there was a time that this guy had seizure by the roadside that we had to carry him and clean him up and put him in front of a store. And when I saw the way people were gathered, I say this before God, I laid down beside him. New people were coming, they didn't know who amongst us was epileptic. I will take a bullet for this guy. You see, but when he said that statement, my heart failed me. And I said, I went to God from the place of prayer. God said, don't make empty statement before me. Just go forward. Are you seeing that now? That sometimes you are standing with the host of Egyptians behind, and here is the Red Sea before you. And the only statement from God is not sorry and please help you, be encouraged. The statement is press on. Ministry is for soldiers, not for civilians. And yet in the midst of many adversity, we build capacity for it. Because the moment you begin to burn out from pain and offense, you begin to kill the very same work you want to build. Nothing kills the work like ministering from offense. And where the devil wants to lure the minister to is that you begin to nurse pain. Don't forget, I said one of the signs you are burning out is that your recovery becomes slow. And you discover that pain and everything is taking time to be healed. You are taking time to be consoled. It's a sign that there is still a need for capacity in that regard. Now, I have a few people who are close to me who are soldiers in the Nigerian Army. And one of them shared with me that one of the things they do in the camp is that they ask you for which of these, some of the forms you feel, do you fear or you have phobia for? Is it height or is it water? Anything you have phobia for, you'll be made to do it till the fear dies. So the way God builds a man against adversity is he keeps introducing the man to it till the man develops thick skin. And the very same thing that will hurt the person and break him down are not sufficient to do. So the devil will have to go and try harder to find new ways. Are you following what I'm saying here? So God is not about to just bring rescue by God will take time on the man he wants to use. And let me say this to you. What God does with you depends on how far he intends to take you to. Just when God is seeing that he's a man that can do my assignment in nations of the earth, he's going to take his time and build the man. Now let me read a few things as I begin to tie up my message. Unfortunately, I didn't check the time I started, but let me begin to tie it up. Now, listen, how many of us believe that God can do all things? Let me see your answer. How many of us believe that God is all powerful? Let me see your answer. And that he is all powerful suggests the fact that everything is within his control. True or not true? But yet across scripture, we have seen God get frustrated because he tends to use a man who has not grown. Across scriptures, we see that God can actually have plans, and the plans are frustrated. He said to Eli, he said, I've said before that you and your father's house will be priests before me forever. But now, on the basis of certain things, far be it from me. You see that? So when there is prophecy, when there is the intention of God, and there is no corresponding attempt to grow and meet up, and this growth must be done deliberately. It is not something that happens on the side as you are busy doing your. It is something you intentionally give yourself to. Because of time, maybe tomorrow's session, I'm going to talk about the different dimensions of growth that we need to have, depending on what you see. Now, let me quickly say this. The vision you saw as touching the ministry God is calling you to, it is not necessary for it to come to pass. The one who determines that it must come to pass is you. If truly these things are believed, and if truly you trust that these things must come to pass, then there are lifestyles that must govern the fulfillment. There are lifestyles that must supervise the fulfillment of these things. I'm not supposed to have observed that Nigerian footballers get outdated faster than their European contemporaries. First among that fact is the fact that they lie about their age. That's a fact. Now you have football age and you have real age. True or not true? But again, if you study the pattern of discipline, you will discover that something is really wrong with us as a nation fundamentally because of something called overcompensation. That, I have suffered for a long time, or I have suffered. Now that money has come, you now begin to live a life contrary to what is bringing it. And before you know it, the man of God is no longer valid. See, it is easier to become a champion than to sustain it. Because the moment you become a champion, everyone's preparation is to your own level. But you see, that rising may look tough, but it's still easy. It takes a lifestyle of dedication. I called our pastors and I asked them, I said, see, how many years do you have to study to become an accountant? They said that so-and-so years. How many years do you have to study to become a medical doctor? So-and-so years. How many years do you have to study to become an architect? So-and-so years. So you cannot wake up from one vision and begin to call yourself a pastor. No. It takes growth. Yes, there might be an heavenly calling, but there is also a need for growth. I mean, look at it now. Are you aware there might have been no need for a Paul? If a Peter had understood that at certain point your destiny will require that you bend and reroute, I said, I'm supposed to send to, I mean, God said, kill these things and eat. He said, I cannot eat what is unclean. God said, I am the one to kill these things and eat. He said, I cannot eat what is unclean. 3 times. And it left. Listen, don't let what God said fight what he's saying. It is okay to hear what God said. But if you will not hear what he's saying, you will kill your Isaacs. Listen, let me share this story with you. I read one more thing, then I ramble. Look up. I remembered, and I keep blessing God for bringing me to this house. Many of you may not understand the personal revelation that I have about it, about being here as a son. I remember years back, I think probably year 2012, I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw, let me quote it, a man of God that I've revered the most in my life. That we were ministers on a queue. And he was anointing everyone. And when he got to my turn, he said, the oil has finished. You know, when I woke up from that, I became restless. Unfortunately for me, I went to share with wrong people. And they were asking me, maybe you should check your life. Are you fornicating? I said, I mean, this, I'm just trying to share something honestly. Fornication here, from where to where? I mean, so I entered into fasting. I was sad. Village people must have gotten me here again. You see, I thought I've escaped. Now I'm in trouble. And for years, I ran with that pain in my heart. I was so pained that, God, what is the meaning of this? Till God led me here. And I remember during MEC, Papa was ministering and he said, there's somebody here. You saw a vision and you misunderstood it. And God is saying that he will bring himself to you in clarity. That same night, I had that same vision again. And I saw myself still standing where I was standing years back, saying, the oil has finished, the oil has finished. And the man of God now said, that queue is for those who are called to be ministers in this house. This queue is for those who believe in this anointing but are doing their own work. So I saw that I've been on a wrong queue for years. And now I could move to another queue. If I ran with that and say, maybe God is not calling me to ministry, I'll be frustrated for life. Sometimes we run because we will not wait for God to bring clarity through the wind of the Spirit to what he's saying. And we begin to build a life that now fights his agenda through our lives. And I'm sensing strongly this evening that one of the things that God wants to do through this conference is to administer clarity. Nothing brings ease like clarity. When you understand the place God is fixing you, it's going to be a square peg in a square hole. You will not struggle. Struggle begins when we are not in our rightful positions. Now, as I bring this to a close, without, please listen to this statement, without intentionality, we can never fulfill the plan of God for our lives. Listen. Look up. When it comes to the issue of growth, one of the advice I give people is that anything that can be changed must be changed. The things that are not permanent must be changed. They can actually be changed. The way we, our command of English can be worked upon. There's nothing like the kind of primary school I went to. You've left that school for years. If God will set you before king, there are languages that are understood. See, kings don't deal with anything that is not premium. Let me give you this illustration. I'm going to stop here. Are you aware there's a way you preach that when powerful people watch you, they will know you are doing that because you don't have important people in the ministry? When minister of God begins to say, I don't care if you like, leave this ministry, it's because you don't have power that be there. Sometimes what we are praying for, it is actually a character trait that we have not outgrown that is actually fighting it. And the place of capacity enlargement means that See, no one has excuse. If there's something you truly desire and you are not there, there are people who are there and you can study what they do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I say this and now we say it humorously. I mean, the first time I came to Feeding Center and I hear Papa, I did not know what he studied. So I started asking questions. That, please, what did he study? Because I discovered that this kind is not by impartation. You know, what we think about impartation is that somebody please lay hands on me so everything that makes you, you should come. If it comes, you will die. And it doesn't come like that. And if that is how God does it, then God is unjust. People don't just enter things through impartation, but growth that cooperates with the impartation. Unless we frustrate the agenda of God. And tonight, I've said this from boarding. Tomorrow, I'm going to be teaching that building capacity for end-time ministry. But listen, I'd like us to truly ask God that greater light will shine in this conference. Greater light. And the reason why I'm saying that is that there is a light for a level for the things we have received and heard in the past. There is another light that may confront them. Listen, God can say what is confronting what you used to know. And that's where humility comes in. It takes humility to align with Him. And I'd like us to please, while we are closing our eyes, ask for greater light. Greater light. Capacity enlargement requires greater illumination. Yesterday's excellence can be today's mediocrity. And ask God, I receive greater revelation from you. That as we proceed to a phase in the body of Christ where things are rerouting, the curriculums are changing, there are things that we must now come into by revelation. And it takes a lot of capacity development to come in. And I'm saying this to the body, curriculums are changing. New things are coming up. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Father, again we are asking that through this conference there will be realignment. Please say that amen again loud and clear. And there will be greater light that will reposition us into your correct intentions. And we will not fail you. We will not disappoint your agenda because of failure to grow.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.